Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
I signed for them after the Euros. And after my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? Like I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I always forget to turn my headphones down at that last bit as the scream comes in and bursts my eardrums. Phil is here. Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning, yeah. The circus is back in town.
Time for another deal or no deal. We're going to get straight into it. Rising Irish star Troy Parrott, aged just 18, is set to go on a season-long loan to Millwall, according to multiple reports overnight. Millwall finished 8th in the Championship under Gary Rowett. Parrott has 3 years left on his Spurs deal. Is this a smart move? Is it the right level? What do you expect from Troy Parrott next season?
Yeah, I think it is a good move. The Championship, I think if anyone watched the Brentford and Swansea game last night, you just see how high the standard is. Brentford were brilliant and you know they could be in the Premier League next season. In terms of Millwall, just missed out in the playoffs. Obviously, Jason Malumbi was one of their star performers in midfield. And this would actually be a good move. Obviously, he stays in London. The Championship, people say, you know, think maybe it's a step down, but he's only 18. We have to be patient with Troy Parrott. And if he can get into the team, sometimes Millwall, the formation can vary where it has been 4-4-2. Sometimes he goes 4-4-1-1. He's, he's played three at the back as well, a 3-4-3. But if he can get into that team, then obviously we're going to see exactly what Troy Parrott is made of. Because does anyone want to see him just brought on for 5 minutes by Jose Mourinho when, let's be honest, things are not going well? He decides, right, let's bring on Troy Parrott, or else things are going so well that Mourinho takes off his first choice players and said, there you go, Troy, we're 5-0 up, you can have a run out for 10 minutes. Now, we need to see Troy Parrott play competitive games where, you know, he's going to be up against tough tackling defenders in the Championship. I think this would be a good move. And if he can get into the team, then, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of tally of goals he could get. You look at Ollie Watkins scored last night for Brentford. That was his 26th goal. Mitrovic scored 26. They're the two out in front. And then, say, even look at Patrick Bamford, Leeds Crown Champions. He got 16 goals. And, you know, he's constantly criticised for not scoring enough goals in a team that creates so many chances.
Emiliano Martinez has been on loan 7 different times before he actually ends up being first choice for whatever period of time he's first choice here at Arsenal. So loan deals and becoming a Premier League player, not exactly the worst thing that's ever going to happen to somebody, particularly when they're 18. Is there any chance that he could get a loan move to a Premier League team?
Possibly, but I said the Championship, it might be seen as a step down, but as I said, the quality is still excellent. We're going to see when Stephen Kenny gets his team going, like there's going to be Championship players in that team. And, you know, as I said, it's a really high standard. And what we need is Troy Parrott playing regular football, because you would have heard Darragh O'Shea on Off the Ball over the weekend or during the week talking about how when he went down to lower leagues, played with Hereford and Exeter, you know, he found out what 3 points is all about. Yeah. Not playing under 23s football where, you know,
Matter.
Yeah, I've even heard Stephen Hunt talking about this, going to games, looking at players playing under 23s. It's not competitive. You want to be playing a competitive, as I said, you understand what it's all about to win games and, you know, the pressure that comes with it. Because there will be pressure on Millwall, the fact that they just missed out in the playoffs, but there'll be a lot of hope that they can get into the playoffs next season. And if Troy Parrott is part of that, I think that would be a good environment for him. We'll see exactly what he's made of.
Let's talk centre-backs, OK? So the London Times reports that Napoli's Koulibaly, Inter Milan's Skriniar, Vertonghen of Spurs and Torres of Villarreal are on Manchester United's four-man shortlist of centre-back targets. Do any of these names jump out at you?
Torres is an interesting one. Obviously, 23, but left-footed. Obviously, Vertonghen's left-footed as well. But Harry Maguire is playing on the left side of the back four. And so I know obviously sometimes it's gone to a back three in certain games for Solskjaer, but if you look at the way they set up, it's usually Lindelof on the right hand side of the back four of the two centre defenders. So if you did get in a left footed player like Pau Torres, then obviously you could switch Maguire over. And I think Maguire would probably be a lot more comfortable because, you know, obviously being right footed, you want to be playing on that side of the central defence. Torres is only 23, but he's a good ball player. He's he's got a cap for Spain. He's definitely an up and coming talent. And you think that if you go for someone like Vertonghen's not like, you know, he was at Spurs for 8 years. His best days are behind him. Koulibaly is, out of all those players you mentioned, Koulibaly is the best of the defenders. Now, he's 29. I don't know what... all the players that seem to be linked with United at the moment tend to be quite young. You look at their attack at the moment, it's so young. Like, obviously, Mason Greenwood, Rashford, Martial. These are all young players. If Jadon Sancho comes in like we expect him to do, again, the age profile, if you're building for the future and you're building to try and close the gap in the top two, you want those young players. But maybe Koulibaly is just one of those players that you bring him in and automatically he just makes you better because...
And you get 3 or 4 years out of him and it doesn't matter.
Why do we think that the Koulibaly thing hasn't happened in recent years? If a Premier League club wants somebody, they tend to make it happen. And Koulibaly's been linked to a multitude of Premier League clubs for every single summer now. Like, I wonder if we're past that point of Koulibaly being able to make a real difference, or if the Premier League clubs know something that we don't. Like, he hasn't had an unbelievable season. He's looked good in the Champions League, where we've seen the most of him, but Napoli haven't been good in Serie A whatsoever. I think Skriniar is probably the best shout for somebody from that list, although he's been playing in a back three for a lot of the season. And Barcelona look like they're going to be in for Torres. A 50 million release clause, though. So I'd say if United get their hands on him, it'll be one of those transfers where you look, that was a nice piece of business. But if Barca are in for a Spanish defender, it's going to be very, very hard for them to say no.
And I suppose the worry is, you know, as I said, he's an up and coming talent, and he's a lovely footballer. He's only 23. You throw him into the Premier League straight away. Will he be able to hit the ground running? And then
bring Chris Smalling back, let him have a year sitting on the bench, getting games, play him in the League Cup, play him in the FA Cup, play him against in those games we expect to win, give him 25 games this season, and then next year you have somebody who is acclimatised and ready to become world class over the next couple of years. Like, if Solskjaer is going to be there for the long term, these are the types of signings that you can make. If he's not, he's got to put all his chips in, get Koulibaly and try and build to the point where they're going to trust him long term.
Yeah, like I'd agree in terms of Skriniar how good he is, but he hasn't suited Conte's system. You know, obviously we saw when Conte was at Chelsea that Aspilicueta was part of a three, which as a fullback, it's great to have somebody in there that doesn't mind getting dragged into wide positions, because, you know, if you're playing on the right hand side of a three, you're going to have to cover that space in behind the wing back who obviously is told to go forward, and that hasn't suited Skriniar. But if you bring him in and maybe you get him into the two-man central defence, maybe that will suit him more. And, you know, he's 25, and I think Inter are quite happy to let him go, to cash in on him, because, as I said, he wasn't as good as he has been this season. As I said, I think a lot of it is down to playing in that three-man
defence. Give us a score out of 10 for Harry Maguire for his first season at Old Trafford.
I'd say 7. I think, you know, he's obviously taken the captain's armband, so now they see him as a leader in that dressing room, and, you know, he's an England international. But at times, his positional sense isn't great. He's not the quickest. So if United want to push on and dominate games and they want to squeeze teams, and because they were so effective in the big games playing on the counter-attack, so Harry Maguire can sit in and teams can throw crosses into the box, Maguire's going to clear them all day. But if you're trying to play a bit further forward and you've got a high line, that's where you would worry a little bit about Maguire. But the price tag is always going to be there, but I think he certainly added a bit of solidity to and he was an upgrade obviously on the likes of Phil Jones or Chris Smalling. So that's why I'd say give him a 7. And, you know, even though he was playing with Leicester and he's an England international, there's still a pressure there that, you know, so maybe we'll see
a better performance next season.
A better performance from Harry Maguire next season. And, you know, by the looks of it, he's going to have better players around him as well.
All right. According to The Sun, Kepa believes he's played his last game for Chelsea. He's been made the scapegoat for Lampard's side's limitations in defence. Is Kepa a bad goalkeeper or is he just the fall guy? Is there a road back for the £71.6 million sterling 25-year-old?
I think he's a bad goalkeeper, folks, isn't he? Have you seen the statistics around Kepa that have essentially gone viral over the last couple of days? Extraordinarily bad stat line. So these are a few of them. During his 33 Premier League games this season, he's let in 47 goals and a save percentage of 55.4% leaves him 127th out of 132 goalkeepers in Europe's top seven leagues. Using data from fbref.com, Kepa's save percentage has been compared to 729 goalkeepers who have played 10 or more matches in England's top flight. Kepa finished last. That is 730th. Out of 730 goalkeepers with statistics attached to them. He's got the worst save percentage in Premier League history to play 10 or more games with 54.5%. He has conceded 8% of Chelsea's Premier League goals ever. And for 14 of his 47 goals conceded this season, this is a remarkable stat, he didn't move. So for 30% of the goals he conceded this year, he didn't budge in goals. So they're fairly striking to say the very least. But it does strike me, especially the last statistic there, that this is a mental issue with Kepa. Like, he had a pretty good season last year, kept 14 clean sheets in the Premier League out of 36 appearances. So he's just nosedived this year completely. He's been a terrible goalkeeper this season. Is he a terrible goalkeeper overall? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't think he's a terrible goalkeeper. I don't think you, whatever about the amount of money they paid for him, and obviously being the world's most expensive goalkeeper, there's a pressure with that. But what's the difference with this season and last season? I think the system has changed, and obviously Chelsea had a lot more possession playing under Sarri, so maybe he didn't have as much to do. But there's a frailty there for Chelsea from set pieces, and that can come down to the way they mark or they don't mark, but also the goalkeeper. There was a fairly clear incident the night that they lost to Liverpool 5-3 where you had the two most expensive goalkeepers in the world letting in 8 goals between them. But there was a ball that was put into the box and you could actually hear the Chelsea defenders shout at Kepa basically to claim it, and he let the ball go across the box. And what that does, if you're a defender, it just means that every ball that comes into the box, it just causes panic because you know the guy behind you isn't confident. And I think he has played his last game. I think that Frank Lampard's obviously made the decision last week or on Sunday to play Willy Caballero. He had brought him in for the Cup semi-final against United. He's obviously going to start Caballero, I'd say, against Arsenal. And yeah, I think just try and get as much as they can for him, and he goes back to Spain. Who they bring in, there's a lot of talk of Dean Henderson at the moment because obviously Dean Henderson's had a great season with Sheffield United. He wants to get into the England team. Jordan Pickford's not exactly in great form at the moment. Maybe you're looking at Nick Pope and Dean Henderson trying to challenge him there. And if Dean Henderson wants regular football, it seems that Solskjaer is going to stick with De Gea. So Dean Henderson might say to United, right, I'm out of here. And Chelsea bring him in. And I suppose that'd be one way of seeing if Dean Henderson really is as good as a lot of people are making out that he is.
If I was Kepa, I would Winston Bogard the whole rest of my Chelsea career and sit on that bench and be happy picking up my millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of pounds for doing nothing. Nothing. I mean, sounds like the best job in world football. Yesterday, we told you about Manchester City's interest in Ferran Torres. The Guardian report that's a done deal. And the 20-year-old will join Pep's side for €27 million plus add-ons, which seems like a pretty good deal. Sid Lowe described him as the outstanding young Spanish player of his generation coming through. He did note, though, that he will demand some patience as he develops. Man City also being linked with Bayern Munich's Austrian left-back, as are PSG. The 28-year-old is expected to cost €20 million should Pep bring him to England.
This is Alaba, is it? I presume that's who you're referring to.
Austria. Yeah.
The only Austrian left back on Bayern Munich's books, anyway. Does versatility make him a good signing for Manchester City? Like the person we've been speaking about in this regard is Declan Rice quite a bit. I know he hasn't been linked with City, but the fact that he can play in midfield as well as at centre back is making him an attractive prospect.
Didn't
Chelsea.
Pep famously pick him in centre midfield?
This is a dream for Pep if he brought Alaba in. Obviously, play left back, play centre half, play midfield.
All at the same time sometimes.
Absolutely,
pick a team with 8 players in it.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he left Bayern though. I think he's a quality player, obviously.
He's not going to get the cash filled by all accounts. the contract negotiations aren't going well.
Yeah, but these things have a way of working themselves out when it comes to crunch time. And
yeah, I do love an old crunch time transfer negotiation contract.
Once you're given the deadline, it's like anything. It's like, you know, when you were doing homework in school, like you didn't do it till right at the last minute. Like, you know,
no.
You need Speak for yourself, Phil.
You need the thrill of it, you know, after you hear the Glen Rowe music. But yeah, it's it would be a great signing for Manchester City. I said he covers all those different positions.
Owen doesn't know what Glen Rowe is, Phil.
He should go on the tour to. You can go down to Glen Rowe in Wicklow if you're not familiar, Owen. It'd be a good day out for you. But in terms of Alaba, the only thing is Laporte obviously is left-footed as well. So does he want to have two left-sided centre-halves?
Oh, Pep does, absolutely. He'd be like, look at me bucking the trend. I've got two left-sided centre-halves. I'm so cool. Look at me. Ryan Manning, 24, that's young, is being linked with a move to West Ham from Queen's Park Rangers by The Telegraph today. Give me a legitimacy rating on this.
I'll give you an 8, Phil, if I'm not sure what you're going for. I think this would be an excellent signing for everybody involved. Manning's had a brilliant season, really, kind of developing as a left-back. West Ham could probably do with a left-back, so they're looking at the next best option from the Championship. So he's been excellent. He's chipped in with a couple of assists, a couple of goals this season as well. He's getting forward well. Like he's obviously seen him as an attacker in a previous life, but he's like 24, you say he's young, but really this is his first season that I've seen where he's actually exploded and has been consistent and has got consistent game time, because Steve McClaren didn't really fancy him, it seemed. So I think he's ready to make a step up. I think West Ham could do with a left back.
Yeah, big time. Obviously Aaron Cresswell's not getting any younger. Masuaku is a player that he goes into that bracket of great going forward, not going the other way, though. And Ryan Manning, it's such an interesting story. A midfielder starts playing as a left wing back, but obviously QPR in the last few games of the season were playing a back four, and Manning was part of that as a left back. So one thing, obviously being a midfielder, he's comfortable on the ball, means when he gets into the final third as well, he has the end product, and he strikes a mean penalty if Mark Noble isn't on the pitch as well, although Mikel Antonio has taken a few penalties towards the end of last season as well. But it would be a great move for him. And
legitimacy?
He's a player that I think we're going to see plenty of in the Irish jersey with Stephen Kenny in charge. Even though Enda Stevens is there, Manning is certainly someone we're going to see in the squads. I'll match Owen's 8 on that.
Okay. Yeah. AS in Spain report that Atletico Madrid have shot down an offer of 25 million and Matteo Guendouzi for the Ghana defensive midfielder Thomas Partey, which is denying us obviously the ain't no Partey like a Partey headline. Is Guendouzi done as a gunner? What's your legitimacy rating here, Owen?
On him being done at a 9, there were basically, it's like you've got a little bit too much money in your pocket and you've got so many sweets in front of you, the sweet shop, and you're just trying to spend it all at this point. That is what Arsenal are trying to do with Guendouzi at this point, just trying to get rid of him. They need to get rid of him, and they've been offering him to like Barcelona for Philippe Coutinho as well, which would kind of be funny, but it would obviously be for a loan deal. So instead of paying the 20 million loan quid, you get Guendouzi off your books, and you get Coutinho for a year, which actually wouldn't be a bad deal, I think, if they managed to reduce the wages that they had to pay a little bit. But for a Partey, like, I mean, there is no surprise here that Atletico Madrid have shot this down. It would be a fantastic move for Arsenal if they managed to make that happen. Like the thing, I would actually be more confident of the Coutinho thing happening because of the fact that Drapchian and Raul Sanier seem to have a very good relationship, and he's obviously running the show at Arsenal at the moment.
These are the backroom politics that make all these things happen. My sense is that for Atletico to shoot down that rumour, it took them so long to load the bazooka because they were laughing their heads off, Phil.
Yeah, Guendouzi is a player that Arsenal want to get rid of. Obviously Arteta had a falling out with him. We got a little insight into what Guendouzi's like in the pitch in terms of what he says in that Brighton game. And Neil Mopay revealed that it wasn't so nice what he was saying. And it's all well and good if Arsenal were where they once were, where they were winning big major titles. But there's Guendouzi giving a bit of stick to one of the Brighton players, and you're kind of looking at him going, your team is not all that at the moment. But, you know, this was a player that when he broke into the Arsenal team, there was the high hopes for, because, you know, he's tenacious, and this is what Arsenal needed in midfield. But with that.
Surely they should just loan him to another Premier League team and see what happens, see if he can calm down or get some sense. No, that's the right thing to do. Get him out of the club for a year, let him come back, you know, tail between his legs, but having played 30 games in the Premier League and establish himself as somebody who can play at this level.
Yeah, he might just want out.
Maybe.
Susie might just decide, you know what, if you don't appreciate me, I'm going home, or else I'm going somewhere else, but I'm getting out of England, getting out of the Premier League, and you can shove it, Mikel Arteta.
10 out of 10 that Guendouzi's gone?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Wait, whether it's permanent or it's a loan, but I'd be very surprised if we saw him at the start of next season.
Okay, we'll do an Arsenal deep dive on what they need to improve to become a Champions League side again. We don't have time now, but...
We need a lot of time.
Barcelona legend Rivaldo has backed Philippe Coutinho to rediscover his best form, but has warned that it won't happen at Camp Nou. He says, go to England, says Rivaldo, who never obviously played in England. At Arsenal, Spurs or Leicester, Coutinho could be a regular starter next season. Where is Coutinho going to go, Phil? Give me a club, one club.
I think of all the clubs you mentioned there, the best fit for him would be Arsenal. As in, that would be his best chance to get playing in a position that he wants to.
Like, because there's no more room on the physio table, Phil.
No, he'd be okay. He'd be all right. Sometimes with some of these players, when they're out of form, the injuries creep up a lot more. But when you actually get a nice flow of football, then the injuries go away and the confidence comes back. But yeah, it hasn't been good since he left. He obviously, like,
speaking of confidence, I got to move on. Sorry, because Joe Hart.
Oh yeah,
Celtic and Joe Hart. Give me a legitimacy rating here, Phil.
No, it's not happening. Celtic are going for 10 in a row. This is a massive season for Celtic. It starts on Sunday. They can't take a risk on Joe Hart.
What are they thinking? This is the most. This is tomfoolery.
Yeah. I can't see it happening.
They're expected to sign Vasilis Barkas, the Greek goalkeeper.
Who, even by the way, in Scottish football, Vasilis Barkas sounds better in a Scottish accent than Joe Hart. There's so many players that deserve to play in Scottish football because of their name. I thought that last week or a couple of weeks ago when Thomas Souček signed his deal at West Ham, I thought, there's a guy that could play in Scotland with that name.
Finally for now, Luis Suarez has been linked with a deal for David Beckham's Inter Miami. He's 33. Is this his level? Has his decline been an understated factor in Barcelona's struggles? Or, if you're Leeds United and you're thinking of signing an over-the-hill striker, why not go for this guy?
Are we sure he's fully over the hill? Like, this would be a sensational signing for any MLS club, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd say he'd get a nice deal over there as well. And I would be surprised if he'd want to come back to the Premier League. You know, nothing even, just, if Suarez thinks back on his time at the Premier League, you know, he banged in goals. Obviously, they came up short in 2014, they didn't win the league. But, you know, all the different problems he had off the field as well, he might just think, I'll steer clear of that one.
Fair enough.
Got a little reminder of it he did when he went back.
So, Inter Miami, 7 out of 10, 4 out of 10, 9 out of 10?
4 out of 10.
I'll go with a 6. We need to get boards that we can hold up.
I think he's on the way. We do need to get boards. That's a good idea. That is the end of Deal or No Deal today.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done?
Like,
I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.